This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
It's kind of useless without the accompanying DVD that follows, but never mind. That's all right. And there goes a bottle of water. Since the first Arakara and Ginz conference in Paris, I've been working on a PhD project titled The Aging Aquarius, Alzheimer's Disease and Arakara and Ginz. Thanks, Marty. The purpose of this research is to provide architectural nourishment to aging populations with a specific focus to producing surrounds that inhibit the onset of dementia-related disease. This year, as part of my doctoral thesis, I'm running a master's studio in the School of Architecture and Design at RMIT dedicated to reproducing Arakara and Ginz surrounds for the benefit of aging populations. So far, 12 postgraduate students have tentatively designed a range of responses to questions raised so far in the PhD, some of which you can see on the screen above. The first design we encounter here involves a collaboration between two Chinese architects, Tim Wu from Shanghai and Anson Sui from Hong Kong, who expressed their vision of Arakara and Ginz through regional dialogues established in previous design projects. Further up, we have the Escher Ames configuration from Davina Heng, an agent of disruption that functions to perceptually destabilize a stairwell corridor, intended for implementation into a larger work of hers still in progress. Flying across now, we encounter a ship built as a response to a major design concern when using Arakara and Ginz. The ship of reversible destiny is purposely situated to overcome the enemy of Arakara and Ginz, repetition, the random motion built into the foundations with the architectural body birthing itself on waves of reversible destiny. Inspired by other instances of cruise ships retiring as floating hotels, such as the QE2, soon to be moored permanently off the coast of Dubai. Oh, yeah, we're away. Hey. Oh, there. We're there. That's Michel Foucault. He decided not to die. He's come back to lead the presentation today. Moving right. So if I read slowly, it'll catch up, I think, if I do it that way. Great. Okay. Cruise ships retiring as floating hotels, such as the QE2, seem to be moored permanently off the coast of Dubai. Student Ben Iman chose to utilize the ocean as a cheap, plentiful source of random motion that also provides an atmospherically charged environment of electromagnetic negative ions, a proven endorsement booster. These are just some examples of our tentative endeavours over the past 4 weeks to design architecture to be at the service of the body, to go to unstinting lengths to design architecture to be at the service of the body. Now, to compound the technical difficulties we have confronted thus far in the course, we are also required to situate this anti-aging architectural endeavour within the wider thematic context of the Reversible Destiny project, one that, in the light of making dying illegal, moves beyond the biological, cognitive, architectural dimensions of the architectural body to the institution of reversible destiny as a legal political statute. Given the event that is making dying illegal, first as a text now buttressed by this conference/Congress in its honour, the studio posed itself the question of how, if at all, we could complement this eventing process by literally building it, building the event. So today I will deviate from my original intentions to present to you the results of this inquiry. To build the event, first and foremost, we had to situate that event within the context of that which it intends to transform. To do this, we had to literally build the world. The United Arab Emirates has, of course, already beaten us to this, dredging up enough sand in the Persian Gulf to create the world, promoted as the most exclusive destination on Earth. I might just skip forward to that, actually. And a bit more. There we go. We built instead the antithesis of this, creating the most inclusive destination on Earth, calling it for good reason the Earth. Our Earth had to be the cheapest, most accessible, indiscriminate location we could find, free of borders, boundaries, and the spirit of Arakara and Ginz, the politics of identity. That's the world that Dubai has planned, and that's how it looks, kind of like a sad face at the moment, but it's going to get there, apparently. Yeah, the cheapest, most accessible, indiscriminate location we could find, free of borders, boundaries, and in the sphere of our code against the politics of identity. For that reason, we built our Earth in the three-dimensional computer online program Second Life. And yes, the ironies are apparent. In building the event, we had to situate the ambitions of Arakara and Gins within the cultural context of an Earth that has death, be that the being toward death of the individual, the monumentalisation of death in our legal and political discourses and institutions, or the justification for inflicting death through the religious political sanction of war, front and centre in it. To isolate that intention further, we decided to focus our built discourse on the historical inventory of deathly atrocity performed upon ourselves by ourselves, which continues to perpetuate a retributive momentum of killing in the name of, that is hard to derail. This form of death is our crisis ethics, for we argue that without a massive curtailment of deliberately inflicted death, the best intentions of the Reversible Destiny Project are at best amusing, at worst benign. In Second Life, you access an area by teleporting to it and landing on all things a landing site. For our purposes, both in reference to the event, that is this conference, and to reference the last major event in this context of events, we have chosen to make this landing point the smouldering ruins of the former World Trade Center. Now, the declaration of global jihad by Islamic extremists is sanctioned by the Muslim faith, or at least the radical elements therein, because in the Quran it commands them to do so. To fight against such as those, there's a quote, who have been given the scripture as believed not in Allah nor the last day. That's from Surah 9, 5, 29, 41. This is but one example of many in the Quran. By the same token, the retributive response from the United States, most notably here the dubious grounds for the invasion of Iraq against the express wishes of the United Nations, was justified on the basis of bellus justum, or just ad bellum, just war, or the right of a nation to make war, a juridical concept whose genealogy comes from a Christian European tradition, going back, of course, to the Holy Bible. Now, one could be forgiven here for thinking that September 11 and the events that have ensued are evidence of a predetermined destiny, God's will to materialise divine prophecy, or that the fictions of our mythological heritage are somehow being forced into existence. That is, we are bringing them into being through action. As Donna Haraway would say, the creation of fact as the past tense of fiction. In this first landing site, in our contextually death-ruled world, the source of tension, division, and conflict are predicated by what are competing epistemologies of transcendence. Common to all three monotheisms inherited from the Abrahamic tradition comes the promise to each of a final judgment day, an end time that rewards the righteous for their commitment to the belief in an eschatological end time, a doctrine of final things. Thus, the first hurdle we encounter in this endeavour to event-making dying illegal is how our manifesto of anti-teleological imminence and the death-defying possibilities therein can dislodge the obsessive compulsion towards transcendental predetermination. Confronting the question of how to build the problem of transcendence out of the world delivers us to the realisation that, quite simply, we can't. So deeply embedded are these transcendent discourses in our cultural, spiritual and mythological heritage. All we can do as architects is figuratively reposition transcendence within the context of immanence, to deprivilege transcendence in order to equate it with that it attempts to hierarchically eclipse. Fortunately for our purposes, transcendence has a real-world site that we can build into, that being the holy city of Jerusalem. Here, student Philip Redmond reassembled the icons of the region in order to problematise transcendence within the embedded context from which it springs. In the beginning, there was and still is the foundation stone, the point at which all three monotheisms stake their claim at the divine. For Judaism, it is the navel of the world, the location of the well of souls where Adam came into being and the site where Abraham fulfilled God's test to see if he would be willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. It is also where the Ark of the Covenant is said to be originally placed. For Muslims, it marks the site where Muhammad ascended to heaven. Apparently, the rock tried to follow him but was held down on one end by the Archangel Gabriel, hence today its sloping appearance. The site is revered in Christianity as Jesus is said to have visited here regularly to communicate with his father, to pray, perplexed no doubt by the conditions of his nepotism. The three dominant sites of the region, the Dome of the Rock, the Western Wall and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, are constructed as entry points through which one can attempt to access the transcendent divine. This desire, however, becomes problematic when engaging other claims to this righteous divine, for the seeker ends up tangled, confused, and/or stuck in the cluttered, discombobulating passage. If you are successful in making your way through this labyrinth and find the spot upon which you can transcend, which Michel Foucault has done here, on your ascension you will find yourself confronted by a very harsh reality. The foundation stone, the launching pad from which we attempt our passage to the divine, has buried in us in the imminence of its earthly context. I'm right out of whack here, but hopefully you'll get it. You can't actually get past it. You hit the rock only to find that there is quite literally nowhere else to go. Fortunately, the benevolent design, the intelligent design, does not plummet the seeker to an abrupt and final end, for an Arakara and Ginz-inspired staircase brings us back to the imminent context from which we tried to escape, albeit an architecturally reconsidered one, a holding open toward a tentative constructing toward a holding in place. This key feature in our death-riddled domain, originally titled Revision or Revi Zion, has now affectionately come to be known as Plato's grave. Next on our list of deathly contexts is to negate is more explicitly attuned to the political, and to do this we look no further than the monsters of reason of the 20th century. Using Le Corbusier's iconic Villa Savoy, the epitome of modernist architecture, as the machine for living, we placed identical reproductions of this mass-produced building at the three most prominent sites of modern atrocity, namely the gulags of Stalinist Russia, the concentration camps of Nazi Germany, and the nuclear holocaust of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. Each monument serves as a reminder that recognises how the best intentions of our supposedly life-affirming rationality can go horribly, in fact, impossibly wrong. To cut a very long story short, this brief history of death, one which positions at the forefront of our investigation the embedded context into which we attempt to apply Arakara and Ginz's reversible destiny endeavours, is a tentative foray to perceptually land between the illusion of transcendence and the harsh logic of pure rationality. In the spirit of the event, we aim to open this site, this earth, in second life, to both recontextualise our relationship with deliberately inflicted death and, potentially, as a form of virtual democracy based on Arakara and Ginz's procedures and practices. Second Life currently holds an extraordinary number of interactive political embassies, higher education institutions, and even operating into the divine where you can, if either a corporeally or financially disabled Muslim, do the Hajj, your once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to Mecca. As of yet, there is no formal democratic structure or organised political vision that speaks back to the First World in the way other institutions within Second Life do. What we propose is that this site could tentatively feel out such a possibility based upon a platform inspired by Arakara and Ginz, a virtual constitution that recognises, one, that we are puzzle creatures to ourselves, two, that we are committed to reversible destiny, which is only achievable through, three, the enacting of an ethics to make dying illegal on a global scale, which has to begin procedurally by negating death first and foremost where it is deliberately inflicted through the political religious sanctions of war. This would be the first thing of its kind in Second Life, and for that matter, in the real-life earthly context from which Second Life springs, and that I would argue it is inextricably connected to. My course at RMIT, running now for only 4 weeks, has 2 months left in the semester. This earth, begun Friday before last and finished, coincidentally, 6 days later, invites a wider participation from the Ginz and Arakawa community, those to whom feel they share a bond of fidelity to this event. If you have an idea, criticism or vision to fulfil in the context of this project, please don't hesitate to offer, for this is a collaborative enterprise that in the spirit of the consensual domain is, as Arakara and Ginz try to teach us, more than the sum of its parts. Thank you. Oh. Sorry, Aaron, we should have practiced. No, yeah.